Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This is our fourth message on our journey of faith, and as we've been doing each week, just a bit of review. The first week, we looked at the journey of faith, and we talked about the differentiation of faith, and the description of faith, and the decoration of faith, and the deduction of faith. And again, I like Criswell's definition of what is faith when you think about faith is the solid, unshakable confidence in God, which is built upon the assurance that He will be faithful to His promises. We mentioned it this morning. I'm so glad that when I don't feel saved, God is faithful to His promises. Amen. I'm so glad that when I stumble along the way, that God is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. I'm so glad that God keeps His word. You know what that is? That's faith. That believes that God will keep His word. Gary's wife, Kayla, was talking today, and she sent me a little note, said, "Pastor, I've got some friends that don't believe in God, and they want to know who created the devil and why he was created and why God allowed man to do this." And three or four questions, and they're all good, legitimate questions if you have faith. Otherwise, you know what they are? Trap questions. Because you don't have an answer if you don't have faith. See, faith starts at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where faith starts. If you can believe that verse, you can believe everyone that follows. If you can't believe that verse, you can't. And so we talked about that. We talked about the journey of faith. And then our second week, we looked at the faith of Abel, and we looked at the way of Abel's faith. It was by faith in the Word and by the shedding of blood. And we looked at the worth of Abel's faith. It talks about how he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We talked about how it was a sacrifice and there was a shedding and this was a substitute, and that's why it was pleasing to God. And then we talked about the witness of his faith and how God testified that he was righteous and that he had God's approval. Oh, there's only one way to get God's approval. Faith. You try and get God's approval in your own works and in the flesh, it's not going to happen. It's only through Christ, amen, only through faith. And so we talk about the way and the worth and the witness and the wonder of Abel's faith. He being dead, yet speaketh. Praise God for that, amen. That faith lives on. You know, you work at trying to see your children saved. One day you're going to pass off the scene, and you know what? Your children still have the faith you gave to them. Amen? And again, as I mentioned this morning, we went to Miss Rosalie Foudy's funeral and Miss Barb Newbill's sister, and how her grandchildren rised up and said she was a woman of faith. And I thought, there she is in the casket, but she being dead yet speaketh. Hey, only faith can do that. And so last week we talked about the faith of Enoch. And Enoch's faith caused him to walk with God. It says he walked with God. And we did a lot in our message last week. We did a lot concerning principles of walking. And we talked about how you must be born, you must take nourishment, and you must learn to crawl, and you'll need help, and you have to take baby steps, and you'll stumble, and you have to continue to go forward, and you should enjoy the journey and enjoy the companionship, and you must be in agreement with the person you're walking with. And all that applies to the spiritual as well. Got to take some baby. Hey, if you're a new Christian, don't think you're going to be super Christian in 2 weeks. Amen? Because you're not going to be. Somebody say amen. It took us all a long time to get where we are. Got to take some baby steps. But there ought to be steps of faith. Ought to be steps of obedience to what God says. And we talked about not only did he walk with God, but he pleased God. And if you look at verse number 6, you have the great impossibility there. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can't do it. Just can't do it. And then we talked about the great imperatives that are also found in those verse there. You're going to have to believe in God's existence if you're going to please Him. You're going to have to come to Him if you're going to please Him. You're going to have to believe that He rewards if you're going to please Him. And you're going to have to diligently seek Him if you're going to please God. And not only did He walk with God and He pleased God, but He was rewarded by God. We talked about that. He's only one of two people that cheated death. He was translated. He didn't get to see death. And we talked about how one day those of us of faith, there's going to be one generation of faith that's going to cheat death. We're going up in the rapture. Amen, church. Oh, I'll tell you what, if we really believe that was today, we get excited about it. We get happy about it. Why? Because there's going to be a generation that's going to cheat death. And it's all through faith. So we look tonight at our third person and our fourth message named in this great hall of faith, and it's the character of Noah. The character of Noah. Look at verse number 7, please. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, of course, that great character in Genesis chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, is mentioned 54 times in the Word of God, 46 times in the Old Testament, and then 8 times in the New Testament. Two of them are parallel accounts in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 24 says, "But as the days of Noe," or Noah, "were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark." That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and 38. Luke chapter 3, he's mentioned in the genealogy, which is the son of Canaan, which is the son of Arphaxad, which is the son of Shem, which is the son of Noah. And then, of course, again in Luke 17, he's mentioned here in our text in Hebrews chapter 11. He's mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved. Oh, boy, I tell you what, that verse right there, God is long-suffering. As Noah was building the ark, God was long-suffering. You know, the truth is, God could have spoke and there could have been an ark. Right? God could have simply spoke and there could have been an ark. He said, "No, I'll get you and your family in." But no, we'll talk about it in a little bit. He was long-suffering. And then 2 Peter 2:5 is the last mention of Noah. And it says there, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." What can we learn about Noah's faith tonight? What can we glean from this hero of the faith? I want you to notice by way of introduction the conditions when Noah had faith. Go back to Genesis chapter 6 and maybe put a Bible marker there in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be coming back there, but go to Genesis chapter 6 and we learn some things about the conditions that Noah had faith in. And sometimes we Christians get to lamenting the conditions of the world, and certainly we should. Amen. There's not a lot in this world that's friendly to Christ, and it's getting harder and harder to preach the word straight and to build a church of God, and people are just hostile toward religion. But you know, can we say this? Sinners are sinners and people are people no matter when. Say, why, Pastor? Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You know what that tells me about the conditions during Noah's day? They were pretty bad. They were pretty bad. They were pretty sinful. So sinful, as a matter of fact, that I believe, and again, this is strictly my opinion. There's some people believe this, some people don't. If you go back and look at Genesis chapter 3, where the sons of God married the daughters of men, I believe it was wicked angels that left their first estate and married the daughters of men. Why? Because giants were born unto them and wickedness multiplied. And it was so bad that God said, "That's it. I'm flooding the world. I'm going to flood the world and clear it out." Oh, the conditions were bad. But I want you to notice Noah's character. Not only the conditions, but character by way of introduction. Look at verses 8 and 9. "In these terrible, dark, wicked days," it says, "but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Now we know. And then if you look further into there, it says, "And Noah walked with God." Noah's character was such that God says He's perfect. Now, those of you that have read your Bible a little bit, you know that word perfect does not mean without sin and without fault, because we're going to learn in a couple chapters that Noah certainly was not as he got drunk. Help me. After the flood. So it means Noah was mature. Noah was mature. And Noah, and by the way, the reason Noah was mature was because he was walking with God. So the conditions, the character, I want you to notice the challenge. The challenge is found in James 1:27. Allow me to read it to you. Pure religion and undefiled is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Despite the avarice, despite the apathy, despite the apostasy, despite the appetites, despite the awfulness all around him, Noah lived for God. You know what that tells me? You are not a victim of your circumstances. You can live for God just as sure as in those wicked days that Noah did. You can live for God. It doesn't matter if everybody else denies the faith. You can live for God. And find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I think of the testimony of that great preacher of the gospel, John Wesley. John Wesley got saved and consecrated his life to the Lord. You could get drunk for 2 cents on Aldersgate Street in England. And he stood on his father's gravestone and preached the Word of God. And God used him to set England on fire spiritually. I think of old William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, and how they got together at the Methodist Church to kick him out because he loved seeing the derelicts saved. And they were having a kangaroo court, and they brought him in front and they said, "Are you going to choose us or the Skid Row bums?" He said, "If you choose us, say yes." And his sweet little wife was up in the balcony. She said, "Say no, William." And you know what he did? He lived for God in the middle of filth and despondency and despair. And he saw hundreds of thousands of people saved. That's the challenge, folks. Living for God in this wicked age. By the way, it's not easy, and all God's people said. It's getting harder. Getting harder. You go to Walmart and you check out, and you better look up because you can't be looking to the sides, and all God's people said. There's filth everywhere, just pornography everywhere, sensuality. But I want to tell you, it was the same way in Noah's day, and Noah lived for God, and so can you. The challenge is to live for God. By the way, some people just say, "Well, I'm going to be completely separated from the world. I'm never going to touch." You know, separation is not isolation, but it's contact without contamination. Separation is not isolation. Listen, the doctor who's curing the tuberculosis patients, he is among the patients, but he doesn't have tuberculosis. See, we've gotten that a little backwards in Christianity. We just kind of figure like, we'll just have our little Christian club here and let the world die and go to hell. But God said the reason we're here is to try to reach the world. Amen? Amen. And so we certainly, by the way, I believe in separation. There's places my kids will never be allowed to go, whether I know about it or don't know about it. I believe that. I believe in standards and all those things. But listen, Noah lived amongst these people and found grace in the sight of the Lord. He lived for God. By faith, Noah, and let me give you a few things tonight. Number one, and we'll look at Genesis chapter 6, stay here for a little bit, and then we'll go back to Hebrews F. First thing Noah did by faith is he received the warning of God. He received the warning of God. If you look at verse number 13 of Genesis chapter 6, it says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." You read that. God spoke that to Noah. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, let me read it to you. He said this, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." Noah had never seen rain. Never. It had not rained upon the earth, the Bible says. He never seen. But you know what? He, by faith, he received the warning of God. By the way, I believe that's the only way that anyone receives, truly receives the warning of God, is by faith. You know, before I had faith in Jesus Christ, I didn't care what God said about eternity. I didn't care what God said about hell. Amen? Maybe some of you did. Maybe you had good parents brought you up. But listen, I had good parents and I could care less. But then once I put my faith in Jesus, I received the warning of God. I knew there was a place called hell. And I didn't want to go there. Noah had to trust that God said what he meant and meant what he said. And isn't that the essence of faith? God said it and He means it. Robert Sumner, evangelist, said this, faith believes and thereby accepts God's announcements of judgment. So it is with impending judgment concerning man. Hey, listen, folks, by the way, I don't like the fact that God said there is a hell. I don't like the fact that sinners go there, but it doesn't change it. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean I'm not supposed to do something about it. Amen? He received the warning of God. Number two, and we looked at this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. We'll just skim past this tonight because we really dealt with it last week. The Bible says at the end of verse 9 there, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Not only did he receive the warning of God, but he walked with God. Oh, how important it is, folks. And listen, I know for those of you that are retired, and I've never been retired before, and I don't know if I'll ever be retired. I don't know too many preachers that are. Most of them are still trying to do something, preach the gospel. But listen, I know this, that time still gets away from you even when you're retired. And all God's retired people said, you gotta make time to walk with God. I think of our dear people that have to get up so early and go to work. I remember the days, Brother Wall, you have to get up 2:30, 3 o'clock to go over and work. And I think of Miss Alana Becker comes on Sunday morning. She has to be at the sit pad at 4 a.m. I didn't even know 4 a.m. was on the clock twice. I just see it in the afternoon. Amen. I think it's some of you that have to get up so early and go about your job, but you know what you need to do? Walk with God. You need to walk with God. How do I do that, Pastor? Read His Word and pray. When you pray, you talk to God. When you read His Word, you let Him talk to you. And that's what it is to walk and talk with God. So he walked with God. He received the warning of God. Number three, by faith, he moved with the fear of God. Look at verse number 22 of Genesis 6. It says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. And you look back over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear. Again, he believed that God meant what he said and said what he meant, and so he got busy. Noah's faith caused him to fear God. And by the way, that's what real faith will do. See, this counterfeit faith, this profession with no possession, where people feel like they can go off and live in sin. I'll tell you why. It's because they don't fear God. They don't really believe what God said about the horrible consequences of sin. And as I heard Brother Joe Arthur say years ago, I think Brother Heath was there for this too. Brother Arthur was preaching on sin. He said, you know what? You can choose to sin or not, but you can't choose the consequences. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If there's a people on planet Earth that ought to fear God and let that fear move us, it's the Church of God. It's the church of God. Nehemiah had the fear of God. I think of Job, how the Lord, as he's talking to Satan, says, "And hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Remember when Jonah was went down and God said to go to Nineveh, and he said, "I'm going to Tarshish," in the complete opposite direction. And he got on the boat and God said, "Oh yeah," and made a storm come up. And of course, they all started casting their lots and figuring out who it was. And Noah just raised his hand. "I know why this is happening to me." And they said, "Who are you?" And he said unto them, "I am in Hebrew and I fear the Lord." Acts 5:11, you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, how they came and they had that false pretense of faith. Amen. Peter said to them, "Have you given so much?" And you remember they kept back a part, and it wasn't a sin that they kept back a part, but they wanted everybody to think they gave so much. Peter said, "Have you given all of it?" And they said, "We sure have." He said, "You've lied unto the Holy Ghost." God killed him right there. And Sapphira came in. Said, "What happened?" They told her what happened. God killed her too. By the way, God still does have the power to do that. Hadn't changed that. But you know what it says in verse 11 of Acts chapter 5? "And great fear fell on them all." You know what, ladies and gentlemen? We serve the God who spoke everything into existence. We serve the God who holds our very breath in His hand. And I want to tell you something. He deserves to be reverentially feared. And that fear ought to move us. I've seen that in my own children. And I don't want my children walking around like this. I'll tell you something, that's wicked. That's where you get into people that abuse their children. Amen? Their children are just afraid, frightened. But I want this, when daddy raises his voice and says, "It's time to clean up your toys," I don't want them looking at me like, no, I want them to move and clean up their toys. But you know, God's that way. He deserves our fear. And I don't mean that we walk around cowering, waiting for Him to club us on the head, but He deserves to be reverenced. He's holy. And may it move us, just like it did Noah. Noah's faith caused him to not only fear God, but to get busy for God. Think about this. He was 600 years old, and he was given the nearly impossible task of not only preparing the ark, but getting two of all the animals onto the ark. I don't know about you. I'm 40. I think I would have a tough time doing that, let alone 600. But you know what? He feared God and he got moving. Hey, may we, the church of God, get moving. Get moving for God. He feared God. He received the warning of God. He walked with God. He moved with the fear of God. Number four, he preached the Word of God. How do you know that, Pastor? Verse 3 of Genesis chapter 6, look at it with me. It says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And if you go over to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I think as he was building the ark, he was preaching. As people would come by and say, "What are you doing?" He'd say, "I'm building an ark. God is going to judge the world. God is going to judge sin. You need to get in. When I finish this ark, you need to get in it." Amen. I believe he preached that God was going to judge. And by the way, God help us preachers to preach the Word of God and the judgment of God without apology. It's what people need to hear. They need to hear that their sin is wicked and is going to condemn them. It doesn't do any good to pat them on the back and say, "You'll be fine." Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 9, talked about preachers like that. And he said, "They have healed the daughter of my people slightly." And slightly won't make salvation. I think of these preachers in their $1,000 suits and their capped teeth. And they never preach anything about the judgment of God. It's always good and good things, and God's going to be good to you. Oh, listen. We need to preach the Word of God, preachers. You men that go into the prisons, God help you to preach! Preach the Word of God. Preach it straight. Noah was a preacher of the Word of God. He preached. He moved with fear. He walked with God. He received the warning of God. Number five, he obeyed the voice of God. He obeyed the voice of God. Look at Genesis chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. And God tells Noah exactly how to build the ark. It says, make thee an ark of gopher wood, verse 14. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, 450 feet long, amen. The breadth of it, 50 cubits, 75 feet wide, and the height of it, 30 cubits, 45 feet high. By the way, that is a big, big, big boat. A window shalt thou make in the ark, Genesis chapter 6 here, verse 15, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof with the lower and the second and the third stories thou shalt make it. And it says in our companion verse in Hebrews chapter 11 that Noah moved with fear and prepared an ark. You know what he did? He obeyed the voice of God. He did exactly what God told him to do. What a great example. You know, we don't have the audible voice of God anymore. But you know what we do have? The written voice of God. And I ask you a sobering question. How you doing with obeying what it says? Hey, I didn't ask you if you're perfect. And all God's people said, because we're not. But, how you doing in obedience to this book? Now, I don't have to ask many of you this. You're the Sunday night crowd. You're here. But how you doing in obedience to reading this book? Hiding it in your heart. Sharing it with others. Praying. Giving. So many other things. Amen. How you doing with your obedience? You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to do what God tells us to do. Again, an illustration with my son, Eric. Eric is a good boy. Eric is a tender-hearted boy. Luke is his mother's child. Anyway, moving right along. And actually, he's very much like me, and that's going to be a problem in the future here. Stubborn and all those things, and my mother could tell you all kinds of stories. But be quiet, Mom. I'm preaching right now. Amen. But Eric is easily distracted. And I'll say, Eric, hey, I want you to, and he'll start to do it, and then he kind of drifts off, and the toys are over here. And so I constantly have to say to Eric, all you have to do is obey Daddy. And Daddy will be pleased with you. Daddy will be happy with you. All you have to do is obey Daddy. And he'll say, after he gets done, I ask him to do something, he'll say, Daddy, are you happy? And I'll say, yes. When we obey God, we have the right through His Word to say, Daddy, are you happy? And you know what He says? Yes. Yes, I am happy. But listen, when we disobey God, when we don't do what we know we should, and to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4:17 says, we have a right to think that Daddy's not happy. He's unhappy. And we need to make that right. And all God's people said, he obeyed the voice of God. He preached the Word of God. He moved with the fear of God. He walked with God. He received the warning of God. Number six, he saved a people for God. It says, look at Genesis chapter 7. Just the first verse there and then the seventh verse. It says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Down to verse 7, please. It says, and Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says that Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. 1 Peter 3:20, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved. He saved the people for God. You know, if God would give you the blessing and the privilege to win somebody to Christ, that's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. And I want to say this, just a sidebar. I would love to see hundreds, thousands of people saved. But there's two people that I want to see saved more than anything else. And their names are Eric and Luke Zavodsky. You know, there's a lot of preachers. Win a lot of people to Christ and let their kids go to hell. I just want it publicly said, church, not me. Listen, I love being your pastor, but I'd give it up in a heartbeat if I thought it was going to ruin my family. In a heartbeat, I'd lay my resignation down and walk out the door. Now, I'm not saying I want to do that. Please don't initiate anything into that. But listen to me. Noah got his family saved. Oh, that ought to be our burden. If you've got a brother or sister or son or daughter, father, mother that's not saved, it ought to burden you. He saved a people for God. He obeyed the voice of God. He preached the word of God. He moved with the fear of God. He walked with God. He received the warning of God. Number 7, by faith he condemned the world by God. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Do you know faith condemns unbelief? It does. You remember John 3:16, wonderful verse. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Our faith in itself, ladies and gentlemen, is a condemnation of unbelief. It's a condemnation. The fact that we live by faith, we live by the faith of God, and He blesses us, it condemns unbelief, just like it did in Noah's day. And then lastly, number 8, Noah was rewarded as an heir of God. It says in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Look, if you would, at Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. And it's a bit too deep of a study, I think, for tonight, but I can just skim by it. Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. And it says, I almost read Genesis 5:18. That would have been a genealogy, amen. But with thee, speaking, God speaking to Noah here, will I establish my covenant. Now shall come into the ark, and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Noah became an heir of righteousness. And God made a covenant with Noah. And there's so much to that covenant, but I'd like to look at just a few things. Look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. 4 nevers that God gave, told Noah that because of his faith he was rewarded as an heir of God. 4 nevers. Look at Genesis chapter 8, verse number 21, please. It says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. We mentioned it this morning. This world that we live in is cursed. If you've ever tried to plant a garden and failed miserably, you know that the ground is cursed. It wasn't always so. It used to bring forth and bud, and you wouldn't have to take the stones out and no thorns and thistles, but you got to really work at it. God said here to Noah, He said, you know what? I'll never curse the ground again because of your faith. Amen. Because of your faith. And then He says this also in verse 21. He said, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. God will never destroy all the living creatures again as He did in the flood. Look at verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. God will never interfere with the uniformity of the natural laws. We're teaching them now to our children. We're teaching them, we said, where are we in now, boys? Winter. And like they say, every time it snows, winter's back. Amen. Like it went away for a little while and then it came back. Winter. And what comes after winter, boys? Spring. And what comes after spring, boys? Summer. And what comes after summer, boys? Fall. And what comes after fall, boys? Christmas. Amen. You see, God said, you know what? These things are going to continue. They're going to continue. Seed time, harvest, spring, summer, winter, fall. Amen. Going to continue. He said, I'll never again interfere with the uniformity. And then lastly, of the nevers, that God rewarded. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. It says, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. God promised this. He said, I'll never flood the earth again. And then if you look down at verse 15, it says, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Not only did God promise to never flood the earth again, but He showed us that promise. You've seen it. Rainbow. Rainbow. Never forget, Carrie and I were on our 10th anniversary and we went to Hawaii, and what a great, great trip that was. It was before children, amen, and so we were able to get out and do all kinds of things. But I was reminded as I looked around, and I've told people this before, it was just, I was asking the Lord just, wow, this is just beautiful, God. Thank you for bringing us here and doing all that. And He kept giving me Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, the earth is full of His glory. As I looked around, and I saw these clouds and mountains that went up into the clouds. Amen. And it was green and all that. But you know what Hawaii is known as? It's known as the rainbow state. Because it's got so much rain. And I can't tell you how many rainbows we saw there. And I thought, promise of God. Promise of God. There's God. Not only is He good to give us these promises and all God's people said, but He's got one right there we can set our eyes on. The rainbow. Said, I'll never again flood the earth. Hey, what did Noah's faith cause him? It caused him to receive the warning of God. It caused him to walk with God. It caused him to move with the fear of God. It caused him to preach the Word of God. It caused him to obey the voice of God. It caused him to save a people for God. It caused him to condemn the world by God. And it caused him to be rewarded as an heir of God. Oh, may our faith grow tonight. Hey, may our faith receive God's warnings. God's got a lot of warnings in here. Some still for us. Amen. Not just for a lost world. Oh, but may our faith cause us to walk with God. Hey, before you go to bed tonight, read a psalm. Read a proverb. The 29th? Today the 29th, is that right? Read Proverbs chapter 29 before you go to bed tonight. Walk with God. Talk to Him. Thank Him for the day that He's given you and the strength to give on. Boy, more and more on Sundays, I'm thanking God for being straight. And standing up since what happened a couple weeks ago. Amen. I thank God for that. And walk with Him. You know, God wants us not only to walk with Him, but God wants to hear us talk with Him as we walk with Him. It's part of fellowship and companionship. Amen. And may our faith cause us to move with the fear of God. It's one thing to say I fear God. It's another thing to prove it. Prove it by moving, amen. Moving with the fear of God. And preach the Word of God. I know you say, well, I'm not a preacher, but every one of us is commanded to preach the gospel to every creature, amen. Obey the voice of God. Hey, when God says it's right, do it. And you can look up and say, Daddy, are you happy? I know this, when we obey God, He is. Oh, and that God would use us to save some people for God. We'll condemn the world by God and be rewarded as an heir of God. Father, we love